IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. New York Democratic Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton is making a trip to Iraq and Afghanistan to share a Thanksgiving meal with New York Army troops and assess conditions in Iraq. Joining is Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island, the ranking Democratic member on the Armed Services Strategic Subcommittee and a former Army paratrooper. Reed organized the trip. Clinton has sought to expand her voice on foreign affairs with her position on the Armed Services Committee and earlier this year voted to give Bush broad war authority. The trip marks Clinton's first fact-finding mission since joining the Armed Services Committee earlier this year. The American plan to turn over power in Iraq more quickly was thrown into disarray on Wednesday when the country's most powerful cleric voiced his opposition to a proposal for indirect elections. Spokesman for Ayatollah Sistani said he insisted that the June election be a direct ballot and not the caucus-style vote called for in the American plan. He also insists that the new Iraq government have a more overtly Islamic character. Officials say the real reason for wanting direct elections is that the clerics hope Iraq's Shiite majority will help to form an Islamic government. Smooth sailing is expected for the giant balloons in the 77th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City today. Winds are expected to reach no higher than 10 miles per hour, eliminating any fears that the bevy of cartoon characters would have to be grounded. Led by Jake the helium-stuffed turkey, who last appeared in 1959, the giant balloons are expected to float with ease in the parade. The National Weather Service has forecast winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour during the duration of the parade, with mostly cloudy skies. Harvey Fierstein, Broadway's most famous drag queen, will dress as Mrs. Claus while riding downtown on a float in Macy's famous parade. Fierstein, star of the Broadway musical hit Hairspray and openly gay, says his appearance as Santa's wife isn't a political statement. He's doing it strictly for the fun of it. More IE America Network news after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
Memo to George Bush: when making a first presidential visit to a state, be sure and pronounce the state's name correctly. Bush, in Las Vegas on Tuesday, repeatedly said Nevada. To properly pronounce Nevada, the middle syllable should rhyme with gamble. Mispronouncing the state's name sets people's teeth on edge, said state archivist Guy Rocha. And state senator Dina Titus said mispronunciation shows Bush doesn't care much about the state. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved LiquiCap.
On this Thanksgiving Day, one thing that I'm thankful for is to be a progressive in America, even in this age of bourgeois. What makes me thankful is the great rebellious spirit and progressive ideals that I find among the great majority of our people, a spirit and progressivism that can't be drained from us even by the collective efforts of Bush Co., the corporate kleptocrats, and the wobblycrats in Washington. Luckily, I get to travel a lot, speaking and working with folks all across America. So I don't have to take my impression of people's beliefs and attitudes from the establishment press, pundits, pollsters, and politicos. And I can tell you that contrary to the contrived conventional wisdom of these establishment elites, Americans are not a bunch of meek, trust authority, just go shopping corporate conservatives clutching duct tape and religiously watching Fox television to learn what it is we're supposed to think and do. Rather, we're the same bunch of restless and raucous rebels, anti-establishment mutts and mavericks who've always been drawn to this big brawling and sprawling country, and who have steadily extended our egalitarian ideals over the decades. Everywhere I go, I find that ordinary grassroots Americans are lighting little prairie fires of rebellion against the economic and political exclusion being practiced by the power elites. You hear little about it from the media barons, but more than 112 cities have already passed living wage initiatives. Students on more than 50 campuses have outlawed sweatshop goods from Nike and others. Nearly 200 towns have defeated Walmart and other big box bullies from bulldozing into their communities. More than 200 cities, towns, and counties have passed formal actions against the liberty-busting USA Patriot Act, and, well, the list goes on of modern-day rebels fighting and winning to take our democracy back. This is Jim Hightower saying, thanks to all of you on this Thanksgiving Day for your great rebellious spirit.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number is 800-TALK-YES. You can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. As you would expect, we've got a jam-packed program tonight. I don't know how we're going to cover it all. Before I get going here, I have a special request I'd like to make. I don't do this very often. I think maybe only once or twice since I've been on this network. But I'd like to ask you to focus a little bit of positive energy, if you would, toward our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, who is dealing with a serious family issue even as we speak. I don't want to go into details. I'm not trying to be slick or secretive. He just has not given me permission to talk about this on the air, and it just has to do with a health issue in his family. And again, however you do that, positive energy, white light, whatever you focus, just on our senior correspondent who has contributed an awful lot to this program. If the spirit moves you to do that, please do. Thank you. Information overload this week, huh? And today. I don't know. How much can we handle? How much can you handle? How much can I handle? Bush thug David Kay, after 4 months and 1,400 people searching, says no weapons of mass destruction. So it's clear now, if it wasn't clear prior to this so-called report, Bush lied to get us into a war. Is that an impeachable offense? How many times have we asked that? Does it rise to the level of oral sex in the Oval Office between two consenting adults? Carl Rove and Louis Libby, I'm not going to say alleged, I'm just going to say it was them. Carl Rove and Louis Libby's criminal acts in revealing the name of CIA operative Valerie Plame. Now, one of the important aspects of the trashing of Valerie Plame, the CIA analyst whose husband pointed out that the so-called nuclear threat posed by Saddam was nothing more than more lies to get us into war, the important aspect, and it just came out today thanks to BuzzFlash, the important aspect is the 24 hours that Ashcroft gave to the White House once the story broke to destroy the evidence before Ashcroft ordered everyone to cooperate and everything to be preserved. Now, this is exactly what Oliver North and his assistant Fawn Hall did when a special prosecutor was about to be named in the Iran-Contra criminal activity back in the mid-80s. It's reported that Bush won't even ask his staff if they committed these felonies that may have cost the lives of people around the world. And the Republicans insist there's no need for a special prosecutor, even though Karl Rove worked with Ashcroft on several of his political campaigns, and it was Karl Rove who insisted that Ashcroft be named Attorney General once the Bush crime family took over this former republic. Why did Karl Rove insist on that? My guess is because Rove knew the time would come when Ashcroft would be required to investigate this corrupt nest of thugs. This was Karl Rove's insurance policy, John Ashcroft. And the first dividend was paid this week when Ashcroft gave them 24 hours to destroy evidence. Limbaugh and his drug addiction, just like Bill Bennett and his gambling addiction and Newt Gingrich and dozens of other Republican luminaries and their sexual addictions. I know you've been following this story today, right? Schwarzenegger and his sexual assaults against God knows how many women that he tries to refer to as playful activity or something engineered by Democrats in Los Angeles. The news today from a general in the United States military that we are losing on average a soldier a day in Iraq while our guys continue to be blown up in Afghanistan. And it slipped under the radar, but the formation of a new company by Bush's 2000 campaign manager, Joe Albaugh, and two top Republican lobbyists that will grease the way for huge chunks of the Iraq money being ripped from U.S. taxpayers. In other words, the Bush crime family once again turning Iraq into a profit center for their loyalists. How much more of this can we handle? Talk about information overload. I'm not sure. But tonight, I'd like to take the bait and focus for a while on the Limbaugh and the Schwarzenegger story, knowing that this is probably what the Bush crime family wants. But we're going to focus part of the program on these two stories anyway. First, Bush, on his need to know the truth. Yesterday he was in Chicago meeting with business leaders. And he shared his thoughts on Leakgate or Traitorgate or Treasongate, whatever you want to call it. I love the emphasis here on the word if.
If there's a leak out of my administration, I want to know who it is. If there's a violated law, the person will be taken care of. And so I welcome the investigation. I'm absolutely confident the Justice Department will do a very good job. I want to know the truth.
All together now. 3, 2, 1.
You can't handle the truth!
He wants to know the truth all of a sudden? He took us to war on lies? And this rat bastard wants to know the truth? And what was that line? If the person has violated the law, that person will be taken care of? Jesus H. bleeding Christ, that person will be taken care of? See, in those unguarded, unscripted moments, the real George Bush emerges.
If the person's violated the law, you know, that person will be taken care of. You know what I'm saying, Saul?
Meanwhile, David Kaye, special appointee, weapons of mass destruction investigator in Iraq, had a news conference today after his closed-door briefing to Congress. Wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on a wall in there? And that's about the only way we'll ever know what was said. So where are the weapons of mass destruction? Bush wants another $600 million to keep looking for these phantom weapons. What is a definition of mental illness? Doing the same thing over and over, getting the same result repeatedly, and expecting the result to change. David Kaye.
We have not found at this point actual weapons. Does not mean we've concluded there are no actual weapons. It means at this point in time, and it's a huge country with a lot to do, that we have not yet found weapons.
Man, you little thug, you're never going to. And you know it. And your boys know it. And your boss knows it. And the American public is starting to figure it out. Schwarzenegger. On Chris Matthews' program tonight, Hardball, he brings up Clinton. Clinton! It's Bill Clinton's fault. Arnold says it's the Democrats' fault. Well, yes, you know, we're just a couple of days away from the vote, and this, I knew this was going to happen. This is why people don't want to go into politics. No, Arnold, this is why pig people like you shouldn't run for office. It's not why decent people don't go into politics, you lying, over-muscled geek. What would Arnold Schwarzenegger do if somebody came up and groped Maria Shriver, his wife? Huh? And as you read the L.A. Times article that hit the newsstands today, 8 pages when you print it out, and we'll have all this posted on my website when the program's over, but if you read the L.A. Times article, you get the sense of the absolute humiliation these women felt. Now, when did this occur? 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000? Remember all the accusations against Bill Clinton, which with the exception of Lewinsky and that lounge lizard blonde who started all off, all proved out to go nowhere. But remember the indignation. Oh, he's a sexual addict. He needs treatment. Yet the Republicans now say that Arnold is just the victim of politics. So six women. Six. These are just the ones who have come forward. Who came into, shall we say, contact with Arnold Schwarzenegger on movie sets, studio offices, other settings over the last 30 years. Say he committed acts of sexual aggression against them. The women described in the Times article their discomfort when Schwarzenegger grabbed their breasts, when he reached under their skirts and grabbed their asses. Well, it says here, buttocks. Another woman said Schwarzenegger groped her and tried to remove her bathing suit in a hotel elevator. Dear God! One woman quoted, said, did he rape me? No. Did he humiliate me? Yes. Now, four of the six women told their stories on condition that they not be named. Three work in Hollywood and said they were worried that if they were identified, their careers would be in jeopardy for speaking out against this pig. This is the way it is for women in America in 2003. Still. The other unnamed woman said she feared public ridicule and possible damage to her now husband's business. In the four cases in which the women would not let their names be published, friends or relatives said that the women had told them about the incidents long before Schwarzenegger's run for the governor's office. None of the six women who gave their account to the Times filed any legal action against him. They just took it. And then this Nazi's campaign spokesman, Sean Walsh, said the candidate has not engaged in improper conduct toward women. What? Then why did he apologize? Walsh said the allegations are part of an escalating political attack on Schwarzenegger as the recall election approaches. He said, we believe Democrats and others are using this to try to hurt Arnold's campaign. We believe that this is coming so close before the election, something that discourages good, hardworking, decent people from running for office. Does that work? Is that going to calm it down? Huh? I'm using the lines of Newt Gingrich and Lee Atwater and Karl Rove taught me to use. Eh? It's just political dirty tricks.
How can I explain why mommy's not here anymore? 'Cause daddy likes porno. us. I think that's why your mommy left us.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of, because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
The L.A. Times did not learn of any of these six women that out of God knows how many that Schwarzenegger molested from his rivals in the recall race. No, you know, nobody in Gray Davis's office, nobody called. And this is how Sean Walsh and Arnold himself are trying to spin this. Oh, well, it's just dirty politics. That's a lie. The LA Times says none of the women approached the newspaper on her own. What happened was, this is something that Schwartz and Naga and the rest of these people don't understand, that there used to be, and apparently it's coming back, this objective, this ideal in journalism. You go dig out a story. The LA Times says reporters contacted these women in the course of a 7-week examination of Schwarzenegger's behavior toward women on and off the movie set. Now in Sacramento, here he is making his campaign manager a liar when the campaign manager says nothing happened. Here's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
I have behaved badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets, and I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful, but now I recognize that I have offended people. And those people that I have offended, I want to say to them, I am deeply sorry about that, and I apologize, because this is not what I tried to do.
Listen to the applause. Listen to the applause. I thought I was being playful just because I'd grabbed their breast. I thought I was playful. I don't know. Why does everybody act like I did something wrong? I did nothing wrong. I play. Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay. Okay. When I am governor, I want to prove to the women that I will be a champion for the women, a champion of the women, he said at a rally in San Diego. Now let's go from dirty politics to the future of California. And that's when the crowd started cheering him. He said, yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets and I've done things that were not right, which I thought was playful. Sexual battery is not playful, you jackass. How about if somebody gets playful with your old lady, huh? Maria. I recognize I offended people. Now you recognize it. I see. But it's just politics as usual, right? This is right, Arnold? This is what keeps good, decent people like you out of politics. It's not your behavior. It's the fact that your behavior is reported. But his campaign manager, or spokesman, Sean Walsh, denying that anything happened at exactly the same moment this moron is standing in San Diego to the cheers of these. Who cheers a molester? Jesus! Who does that? We love you, Arnold! Give it to him again! Grope me! Here! Here's my breast! Please grope me! God, I love you, Arnold! Schwarzenegger took the stage there to chants of Arnold! 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 This morning, he said, they have begun the tearing down. I know the people of California will see me through this trash politics.
She said, don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some clams dig deep to survive an invasion of foreign crabs. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The European green crab first came to North America in the 1800s in the ballast of sailing ships. Today, the crab is a major problem along the northeastern coast of the United States. It eats just about anything it can get its claws on. That includes a valuable shellfish called the softshell clam. It appears that some of the native clams get away from the foreign crab by digging deep into the mudflats where they live. Lindsay Whitlow is an ecologist at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. He compared the shells of clams that were collected recently with shells that were stored in museums. The museum specimens were collected before the green crab became a problem. Whitlow says the clams have physically changed to be able to burrow more deeply into the mud. The changes protect them from green crabs, but they also make it harder for the clams to reach the microscopic plants they eat themselves. Whitlow says they now grow more slowly, and that has implications for people who harvest the clams and sell them.
In order to maintain a population of clams, most states regulate what size you can harvest them at. So they have to reach 2 inches before it's legal to pull them out of the mud. And so you can imagine that if they're a bunch of green crabs, not only are there going to be fewer clams, but it's going to take these clams longer to reach that harvestable size, so there'll be maybe even fewer clams available that clammers can take in and make a living on, and that people will have to eat in the summertime.
Whitlow says some towns along the East Coast are trying to rebuild local populations of softshell clams. They're trying to raise them in hatcheries and protect them in the wild with nets. But Whitlow says European green crabs are just one problem for the native clams. He says their survival also depends on the overall health of the coastal marine ecosystem. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Here's a lovely song about my favorite food. Lima, lento, soy, and pinto, navy, northern, and garbanzo, kidneys, and frijoles, negros. I love beans. I love beans. Woo, woo, woo. I love beans. How about you? High in fiber, low in fat. Hey, but you didn't know that. When I eat beans, I say it in my own little cloud. Nobody comes to visit me in my little cloud. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm cutting muffins. Because I love beans. Hey, hey, hey. I love beans every day. Beans are an excellent source of protein. I love beans. Diggy-doo.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Now, if the groping and the and the sexual battery of this knucklehead in California and the cheering by people in San Diego when he takes the stage, if this is not enough for you, how about this? ABC News unearthed a book proposal in which Arnold Schwarzenegger is quoted as naming Adolf Hitler as one of his Hitlers, or one of his heroes, one of his Hitlers. Asked about his heroes, Schwarzenegger was quoted as saying, quote, "I admired Hitler. For instance, because he came from being a little man with almost no formal education up to power.
And he was pumped up.
I admire him for being such a good public speaker and what he did with it."
Schwarzenegger was quoted as saying he wished he could experience being like Hitler in the Nuremberg Stadium and have all those people scream at you and just being total agreement whatever you say. Jesus God, what is going on? Asked by ABC News to comment on the old remark, Schwarzenegger said, I cannot remember any of these. I despise Hitler. Oh, my God. He was not the author of the book. He was quoted. The author of the book proposal told ABC News that the quotes needed to be seen in context. What would that be? Dead Jews stacked up in a corner? Would that be context, Arnold? How about a bunch of gay people on fire in the furnaces? Oh, I know. How about gypsies having their heads ripped off? Would that be in context? Are the people in San Diego going to cheer this bastard now? Sieg Heil! Arnold, we love you! Good God! Just doesn't stop, does it? And we haven't even gotten to the pig man yet. We haven't even gotten to the pig man, this drug-addled freak!
Oh, but Mike, it's just a report. There's no proof. And you should have compassion for people who get caught into the vicious cycle of drugs.
Should I? Well, you can piss that idea off. Now, according to... oh, my God. According to John Ashcroft and Asa Hutchinson, the Drug Enforcement Administrator, Rush Limbaugh supports terrorism. Eh? From the Associated Press, September 3rd, 2002.
Attorney General John Ashcroft and former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani helped open a museum exhibit intended to show Americans that buying illegal drugs can support terrorist attacks. The exhibit, titled Target America, includes September 11th rubble from the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. It is housed at a museum in the Drug Enforcement Administration's headquarters. DEA Administrator Asa Hutchinson said the exhibit aims to educate Americans about the role drug money has in terrorism. Asa refused to comment on the fact that his brother is a whoremonger. Quote from Hutchinson. Before terrorism hit home on September 11th, few Americans realized the connection, and fewer still understood that drug money has been used to fund terrorism, end quote. Attorney General John Ashcroft said, terrorism and drugs go together like rats and the plague. They thrive in the same conditions, and they feed off of each other. Rush Limbaugh supports terrorism. How about that, you freaky ditto heads? Now, here's Rush, death by temptation, you'll pardon the play on words, Limbaugh, at the National Association of Broadcasters in Philadelphia today, giving the keynote address. Oh, I know, it was scheduled a long time ago. Yeah, but the fact that he's using, what was it, his gardener, his maid, his house-cleaning woman as his connection to the drug underworld? These people didn't know this at the NAB? They didn't get the news today or yesterday like you did and I did? Interesting comment here about his Limbaugh's honesty here as he explains his decision to resign from ESPN.
The circumstances at ESPN early in the week, the management there was vigorously defending what had happened. They saw really nothing wrong with it. There really nothing was. I mean, it's such a tempest in a teapot, particularly in the sense that we live in a country where there are supposedly, there is a First Amendment, you can offer opinions. But you can't, you know, in certain places and at certain times, you can't offer an opinion. It's just an opinion. And to me, being honest is what's called for in a situation like that. Anybody can phony it up and offer platitudes and cliches and so forth, and that's not me.
No, that's not me. Just give me another couple Vicodin, will you? You got any of that hillbilly heroin? How about some OxyContin, huh? Hey, give me a couple!
There is a First Amendment, that's right, Rush, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with making racist statements. The First Amendment, Limbaugh, you former talk show host, you neo-Nazi thug, the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. Congress, you moron! Nobody has a right, a constitutional right, to scream falsely, fire in a crowded theater. Nobody has a right to use slanderous or libelous speech. But Rush Limbaugh knows that his piggish listeners can't tell the difference between the First Amendment and first base. So he can say things like that.
There is a First Amendment. You know, supposedly we live in a country where, you know, I can say kike, Jew, nigger, freak, thug, spick. I can say it all. I can say it in a way that only my listeners get it. And if you try to stop me, I'll scream First Amendment.
Of course, if you call my program, my screener will make sure that your First Amendment right goes right in the toilet. There's a banner ad on the top of Limbaugh's page that says, poor diet, lack of sleep, time to take your stress tabs. Go there, rushlimbaugh.com. Give me some blues. So America's truth detector.
Yeah, but damn, that black quarterback certainly is having a lousy season, you know, and the press has given him a free pass because, you know, the NFL and the press, they want to see some Negroes up there in quarterback positions. Me? Well, you see, I bought thousands of prescription painkillers from a black market drug ring. My housekeeper, old Wilma, the bitch wore a wire. Can you believe this? I bought drugs from this woman for 4 years. The bitch wore a wire the last two times. She kept my messages on her answering machine. Where I'm telling her, I'm using the worst kind, I use the F word. I use the bitch word like Malloy just did. I use all this bad language. I tell you, better get those pills. Poor Wilma Klein.
She was Limbaugh's housekeeper, secretary, drug connection. Limbaugh, she said, was hooked on the potent prescription drugs OxyContin, Lorset, and hydrocodone, which, to those of you in the know, is Vicodin. Went through drug rehab twice. Hi, this is Sean Hannity. I'm substituting for Rush, who's on vacation. Klein said, there were times when I was worried. All these pills are enough to kill an elephant, never mind a man. Klein went to prosecutors with information about Limbaugh and others after 4 years of drug deals that included clandestine handoffs in a Denny's parking lot. She wore a wire during her last two deliveries and gave the tapes to authorities. She also turned over a ledger documenting how many pills she claimed to have bought for him. 4,350 in one 47-day period. Oh, and emails from Limbaugh. In one email, Limbaugh urged this woman to get more, quote, little blues. I love those little blues. Give me some more! That's on the street what they call OxyContin. Want some of them little blues? Damn! A May 2002 email from him to her read, you know how this stuff works. The more you get used to, the more it takes. But I'll try to cut down and help out. Premier Radio Networks, which syndicates the Rush Limbaugh show, issued a statement from Limbaugh this evening, or this afternoon, saying, I am unaware of any investigation by any authority involving me. No government representative has contacted me directly or indirectly. If my assistance is required, I'll try to sober up and cooperate fully. You notice what's missing from his statement? A denial. tapes, emails, phone calls. CNN put up a transcript of one of the calls on their web, one of the newscasts today. Is that what it was, Kathy? With little asterisks between the F and the K. Okay, the whole word was bleeped out? Oh, okay. Even CNN won't do that, huh? Vile language! Limbaugh's lawyers, Jerry Fox and Dan Zachary, refused to comment on the accusations. Reports say that Ms. Klein became Limbaugh's drug connection in 1998, 9 months after taking a housekeeping job at his Palm Beach, Florida mansion. The New York Daily News has confirmed, even though the prosecutor's office in that county refused to say one way or the other, but the New York Daily News, which is a right-wing rag, the New York Daily News independently confirmed that Limbaugh is under investigation. And I like his lawyers, Jerry Fox and Dan Zachary, refused to comment on the accusations and said, any medical information... medical information about our client is private and not newsworthy. And a pig's ass it isn't newsworthy, boys. It's real newsworthy. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How many times has Limbaugh... Now, are we getting on him because he's a weak drug addict? Anybody who's dealt with people who are involved in addiction, and I've had some good friends who got caught in addictive drugs. Anyone who knows first or second hand how powerful these drugs can be will immediately feel some kind of sympathy for the pig man. But I'm not going to. Because it shows the failure of his values, the failure of everything he said. How many times has this pig railed against liberals and their drug treatment plans paid for with your money? How many times did he say he was proud to be one of those lock 'em up and throw away the key types? You think he's going to advocate that now? Huh?
Oh, but Mike, you don't know if any of this is true. It might not be true.
Limbaugh doesn't deny it. The authorities have the tapes. Ms. Klein said all this started after her husband, David, hurt himself in a fall. And Limbaugh asked,
how's your husband? Is he getting any pain medication?
And Ms. Klein said,
well, I said, yes, he's had surgery, and the doctor gave him hydrocodone 750. And to my astonishment, he said,
can you spare a couple of them?
Klein said she gave Limbaugh 10 pills the next day and agreed to give him 30 of her husband's pills. Meanwhile, her husband is contorted with pain, but never mind. Klein said she agreed to give the pig man 30 of her husband's pills each month. When the doctor stopped renewing the prescription in early 1999, Limbaugh allegedly went ballistic. Klein said,
well, you know, his tone was nasty and bullying. He said,
I don't care! I don't care what you do, but you better get me some more!
So the housekeeper said she found a new supplier. Oh, Jesus, real fast. You know, I've got connections in Miami. And I hid the stashes under his mattress so his wife Marta wouldn't find them.
After several months, according to the Daily News, Limbaugh told her he was going to New York for detox and didn't need any more pills. But a month later, he said his left ear was hurting and asked her for more hydrocodone. Give me some more! In June 2002, Limbaugh told her he was going to New York for detox a second time. After he returned, she said,
well, I went to talk to him, and he cried a little bit. And he told me that
if this ever gets out, I'll be ruined.
She says the payoff, $80,000 that he owed her, plus another $120,000, and asked her to destroy the computer that contained the email records. Soon after that, Ms. Klein and her husband David contacted the authorities. Limbaugh has hired famed criminal attorney Ray Black this afternoon. I wonder if Premier Radio Networks, owned by Clear Channel, will continue to broadcast this terrorist supporter.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small.
You better give me some more, bitch!
That mother gives you.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay, a... Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories.
At Animal Talk, we think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Tick-tick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Listen, there's all kinds of ways to treat substance. I understand that.
Now all the right wingers, starting with Pat Buchanan, say, "Well, Rush has a drug problem. He ought to get rehab." Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That'd be a good idea. Now about his going deaf. Have you all seen this? I'll post this too from a medical website. Misuse of powerful, widely prescribed Vicodin. That's the, what is the generic name for that, Kathy? Vicodin, hydrocodone, one of Rush's drugs of choice. Vicodin is linked to rapid hearing loss, even deafness. A powerful and potentially addictive painkiller used by millions of Americans is causing rapid hearing loss, even deafness, in some patients who are misusing the drug, according to hearing researchers in Los Angeles and elsewhere. So far, at least 48 patients have been identified by doctors at the House Ear Institute in Los Angeles and several other medical centers who have treated patients with sudden hearing loss. The hearing problems appear to be limited to people who abuse Vicodin and other chemically comparable prescription drugs by taking exceptionally high dosages for several months or more. Well, gee, Rush, ain't that something? Researchers at the House Institute were among the first to connect Vicodin with sudden hearing loss. They now have identified 29 people, I know one more, who heavily abused the drug and who subsequently suffered a sudden hearing loss. 16 of those were diagnosed in the last 2 years. Blah, 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 on it goes. Remember about a year ago when Rush was slurring his speech and folks wondered if he was drunk or having a stroke? Remember that? No. So listen, you know, Democrats are all rats. You know, liberals are all just, liberals don't make any sense. They're, liberal media. Hold on a second while I do a commercial. Got any more of those little blues?
Yes,
speak up, I can't hear you. Some in my ear. Oh, damn. There's a pill in there. Here, let me get this sucker out. There we go. Listen, I'm going to be on vacation next week. Sean Hannity's going to fill in for me, okay? Let's see. I'm going to be on vacation next week. Sean Hannity's going to fill in for me. Did I already say that? What? What? Who's on the phone? I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. Rush. Turns out his name is very appropriate. A.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Mike Malloy is rational, and but, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
you
put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof.
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
Smooth sailing is expected for the giant balloons in the 77th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City today. Winds are expected to reach no higher than 10 miles per hour, eliminating any fears that the bevy of cartoon characters would have to be grounded. Led by Jake the Helium-Stuffed Turkey, who last appeared in 1959, the giant balloons are expected to float with ease in the parade. The National Weather Service has forecast winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour during the duration of the parade, with mostly cloudy skies. Several thousand watched in chilly temperatures last night as the big balloons were filled with helium near Central Park. New York's annual Thanksgiving parade is famous for its giant balloon caricatures, but Mrs. Claus in drag may be drawing the second looks this year. Harvey Fierstein, Broadway's most famous drag queen, will dress as Mrs. Claus while riding downtown on a float in Macy's famous parade. Fierstein, star of the Broadway musical hit Hairspray and openly gay, says his appearance as Santa's wife isn't a political statement. He's doing it strictly for the fun of it. Several thousand additional Marines will go to Iraq next year, the Pentagon said Wednesday, in an update that indicated the total U.S. force won't be reduced as much as planned. The Pentagon had announced on November 6th most of the details of its rotation plan, which called for relying more heavily on the National Guard and Reserve, while reducing the total number of American troops to about 105,000 by the time the rotation was completed in May. Although no numbers were provided by the Pentagon, it appears the total number by May will be closer to 110,000, counting the additional Marines. For reasons not explained in the announcement Wednesday, the Pentagon said it had decided to send an additional 3 battalions of Marines. Those would be beyond the 20,000 who were designated on November 6. More IE America Network news after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
A dog that washed overboard from a boat in the Intercoastal Waterway was reunited with her family 37 days after she disappeared. Tulip, a long-haired dachshund who weighs about 10 pounds, disappeared October 19th when a yacht sped by the boat she was in, causing a wave to crash over the boat and knocking Tulip overboard. On Tuesday, the owners got a phone call from someone who lives about 6 miles from Topsail Inlet where the boat mishap occurred, saying her children had found Tulip, her collar and ID tags still intact. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller. Happy Thanksgiving.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
On this Thanksgiving Day, one thing that I'm thankful for is to be a progressive in America, even in this age of bourgeois.
What makes me thankful is the great rebellious spirit and progressive ideals that I find among the great majority of our people. A spirit and progressivism that can't be drained from us even by the collective efforts of Bush Co., the corporate kleptocrats, and the wobblycrats in Washington. Luckily, I get to travel a lot, speaking and working with folks all across America. So I don't have to take my impression of people's beliefs and attitudes from the establishment press, pundits, pollsters, and politicos. And I can tell you that contrary to the contrived conventional wisdom of these establishment elites, Americans are not a bunch of meek, trust authority, just-go-shopping corporate conservatives clutching duct tape and religiously watching Fox television to learn what it is we're supposed to think and do. Rather, we're the same bunch of restless and raucous rebels, anti-establishment mutts and mavericks who've always been drawn to this big brawling and sprawling country, and who have steadily extended our egalitarian ideals over the decades. Everywhere I go, I find that ordinary grassroots Americans are lighting little prairie fires of rebellion against the economic and political exclusion being practiced by the power elites. You hear little about it from the media barons, but more than 112 cities have already passed living wage initiatives. Students on more than 50 campuses have outlawed sweatshop goods from Nike and others. Nearly 200 towns have defeated Walmart and other big box bullies from bulldozing into their communities. More than 200 cities, towns, and counties have passed formal actions against the liberty-busting USA Patriot Act and, well, the list goes on of modern-day rebels fighting and winning to take our democracy back. This is Jim Hightower saying, thanks to all of you on this Thanksgiving Day for your great rebellious spirit.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Boy, if you missed that first hour, the stations that join us for only the second 2 hours or the third hour, oh, did you miss a good time? We had jugglers in here, fire eaters. You can pick it up on whiterosesociety.org. If the pig man has to retire because of his... either because of his criminal activity or his addictive activity, one of the two. Think about how many radio jobs that would create for all the up-and-coming local market boys and girls who would love to get on radio. But the Pig Man and Laura the Unloved and the Baby Jesus, Sean Hannity, have 9 hours a day wiped out on the airwaves in this country. Imagine if all three of them, think of Laura the Unloved, who did her spread eagle photo shoot and was such a crappy daughter, her mother committed suicide for Christ's sake. Didn't even care. Went on the air the next day. Well, they found my mother dead. Limbaugh, Hannity. I don't know about Hannah. Limbaugh, Laura the Unloved, all these people. They're on some 600 stations. Think about how many jobs. Now, you know that the baby Jesus, Sean Hannity, is home tonight just rubbing his hands together, rubbing his hands against his Bible. See, I know Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity is as much of a Christian as I am a practicing whirling dervish. But I'm sure he's rubbing his Bible and rubbing his hands together. Oh, Rush, go down. Go down, damn it. Give me my chance. You know, I'm real glad that my doctor put me on BP medicine 3 or 4 months ago, because if I would have had a coronary before this night, you know, if I would have dropped dead last week, Kathy would just about be at the point now where she'd be going, okay, I think I can get over it. And then she would hear this news and she would say, oh, my God, Mike! Mike, you died a week too soon! Oh, Jesus, God, Mike! Yeah, I thought about that during the break. Supposing I would have, croaked before I did. For about the past 7, 8, 9 years, ever since the pig man turned into the pig man, when he first started out, he was kind of funny. How many times have I said on this program, the only way he'll ever go down is if they catch him with a live boy or a dead girl? I forgot about hillbilly heroin. I forgot about that. Yeah. Hey, I'm going deaf.
Now I know why.
Now I know why, as all those damn pills that housekeeper brought me. She did what? She wore a wire the last two? Oh, my God. Where's my attorneys? Jesus. Look, here's $10 million. Get me out of this. From Butch down in Texas. Hey, Mike, why don't the right-wingers and the so-called Christians, this is in regard to Schwarzenegger, the Nazi lover, the Hitler lover, the guy who the guy who sexually assaults women, and all this stuff is coming out. You say, well, that's why nobody runs for governor. I sound like Boris Karloff now. But Bush says, why don't the right-wingers and so-called Christians consider Monica's relationship to Bill Clinton as just being playful to Bill? And because, what did Schwarzenegger say? Well, I was just being playful. he grabs body part. Oh, just playful. You don't like the game? Oh, gee, I'm sorry. Snotty broad. You don't like the game? Hey, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Butch says, and why did the right-wingers in the media play up that playfulness between Clinton and Monica for 3 or 4 years? Yeah, well. From Fury Cat. The pig, Rush, whines. Gee, I thought only liberals were whiners. He whines about no First Amendment rights. But when the Dixie Chicks or Susan Sarandon or Tim Robbins, the list goes on and on. Bruce Springsteen. Who is the guy I mentioned today that was interviewed? John Mellencamp. When they expressed their First Amendment rights, what happened, Rush, you thug? Fury Cat says, when these people expressed their First Amendment rights, they were boycotted, sanctioned, threatened. The right wing was saying about these people,
yeah, they have the right to say what they want. They just need to understand that there are consequences to speech.
Yeah, Rush, there are, you phony bastard. Transcript. Who sent me this? Reverend Debu. Thanks, Reverend Debu. Transcript from the Rush Limbaugh Show, Monday, October 8th, 2001, Hour 2. This is when he's explaining what he's going to do about his approaching deafness.
Now, if it eventuates that the medications, that is literally, I mean, I'm popping pills, I'm shooting up stuff, I've never done stuff like this before. If this stuff doesn't work, then there is one other option that is relatively new, but it's not something that has been done enough to where a pattern has been established to say that it's acceptable. There's always a last resort, the cochlear implant.
Rush, you're confusing cause with effect, you moron. It's the pills you're taking that's making you deaf. That's what my grandmother used to say. Are you deaf? It's the pills you're taking, Rush, that's making you deaf. Not the other way around. You don't take pills to get undeaf. You stop taking pills. Oh, God.
Rick in Bellingham, Washington emails, and Mike, it's interesting to see the 180-degree turnaround that right-wingers are willing to do when one of their guys is in trouble. Already I've heard conservatives talk about how Russia's drug abuse isn't such a big deal, and he just needs rehab. Pat Buchanan expressed exactly that today on MSNBC. But, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't right-wingers the ones who have been telling us for years that drug abuse is a crime? I thought it was only liberals who felt that drug dependency should be treated as a health rather than a criminal problem. So shouldn't Rush turn himself in, and shouldn't he be shouldn't he be thrown in prison? Is he now a danger in the ongoing war on drugs? Shouldn't conservatives be throwing the book at him? Interesting double standard. Rick, Bellingham, Washington. Oh, my God. I better take some phone calls here before I blow an artery. Southside Carl from Chicago.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Oh, I just... how am I doing?
Hey.
I'm in ecstasy! I'm going to take an ecstasy. I'm in ecstasy!
Hey, who said that liberal progressive radio couldn't be entertaining?
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you. Limbaugh!
You know, I had three topics. One was about the Austrian woman molester. The other one was about the racist bigot talk show host.
Yeah.
And then the other one was about our good friend David Cape.
Yeah, the weapons.
Yeah,
right.
Now, you know, every time I mention to you, I happen to turn Rush on. You say, why are you, you know, I tell you.
I know. I get your case. I know.
But I'm going to go.
Carl, you're going to have to speak up. I've been taking these little pills, and I'm losing my hearing here.
I'm going to stick with the first two, though, okay?
Okay.
Okay, today.
I just can't talk about Iraq tonight.
Yesterday, David Cape was saying something about, well, maybe Saddam had just bluffed us or something or that I heard, you know. But
he bluffed our entire intelligence establishment. He bluffed our entire government. Oh, my God. That's bat squeeze. Now, look, Rush and the boys wanted that. Or Bush and the boys. Rush, Bush, not much difference there. Bush and the boys wanted that oil. You know, Saddam didn't bluff us. David Kay is a lie and a sissy and his breath smelled pissy.
Well, hold on. Well, today now, in the great American tradition, when you dug yourself a hole, we always get a bigger shovel and dig a deeper hole.
Uh-huh.
So he says, well, I want $600 million to keep looking.
Well, like I said, isn't that a very quick definition of insanity? When you're doing something that makes no sense, you're expecting the same result, you keep doing it. Well, now see that $600 billion. Now, Carl, let's.
Well, let's see.
But no, wait. Let's
wait, Mike. That's $2 million for every American man, woman, and child who could buy a home, have health care insurance, put the kids in private.
No. That's to find those weapons of mass destruction. Gotta find those weapons. They're out there somewhere.
Now, getting back to Arnold now.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm listening to Arnold and stuff. And first off, I happened to catch this on Chris Matthews. And talk about a big idiot.
Oh, Chris Matthews. You know, one night he'll say something, I'll go, hey, maybe he's not so bad. The next night he comes across like a stone-fooled jackass.
I'm like, he said, well, I don't understand this. The Thursday before the Tuesday of the election, this time is suspicious to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, wait a minute. Don't you think we should know before the election?
Right.
And then this thing about the quote for this perspective book, I see that's across all of the airways. Even on Fox, they're reporting it. So, you know. But the thing about Arnold is that he's like, well, this is dirty tricks. Well, wait a minute. When you got baggage, it's your baggage. And if somebody happens to bring it out, it's not their fault. It's baggage that you got to live with.
I know. But that's what they do. That's what the media, we are seeing the media today, with the possible exception of CNN and Keith Olbermann,
on MSNBC. But we're seeing the rest of the media say, well, now, wait a minute. That wasn't a racist statement. Well, wait a minute. Just because he had, you know, he's on a few drugs. Well, wait a minute.
Hold on, Mike. This is I'm going to let you go. I was watching, I've been flipping. I must have turned to CNN, and they had Davis comments. He said, well, I'm not going to be judging anybody, but, you know, and this and that. But in the process of, you know, making his statement, I could have swore he was suppressing a smile.
I'm sure he was. Carl, thanks for checking in, pal. Okay. All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Oh, man. Stay with us. Oh, we have so much more to talk about.
Shoes upon his feet, then he's high. I said that cat is high. Yes, he's high. Then he's higher than a guy. Watch mom, watch mom.
Nothing like having a few friends over for a cocktail or two.
Higher than a guy. Boy, mom, watch mom. Oh, Luke, watch mom, that guy.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. It's hard to sort all this stuff out, isn't it? I don't know. It's like what was it? Come on, Mike. What was the name of the woman, Kathy, Bart Kopp's astrologer? Geneva. Now, it seems to me, now, I know all you folks out there, and I agree with you. I read Carl Sagan's Ghost World, or whatever the hell it was. No, that's not the title of it. But, okay, it's all jive turkey nonsense. Yeah, right. But remember Geneva talking about this sort of stuff about to happen because something was in retrograde, or do you remember? I mean, this is like, I don't know. Are we about to rapture up into heaven? Is that what this is about? Oh, my God. Joe is calling from Oregon, our Brookings Bureau Chief. Hey, Joe.
Hello, Mike. Oh, before I talk about the old fat boy himself, someone mentioned Chris Matthews' name.
Yeah.
Would you mind hearing a Chris Matthews imitation?
Go ahead.
Yes.
No cussing.
No. Hey, you know me. I'm clean even when I'm dirty.
I know.
Okay. Hi there. I'm Chris Matthews, and I'm a horse's ass. Hardball is next. That's the way he sounds.
Yeah?
Anywho.
Yeah. You know, you do Chris Matthews about as well as I do Arnold Schwarzenegger, but that's all right.
Oh, man. Well, that was a bad one for me then, because I do it pretty good.
Okay.
So don't, you know.
Okay.
Don't jive me, Mike. Okay. Now, about talking jive about Rush Limbaugh, I mean, what a butthole. You know, they're trying to talk about, but Dusty Baker, you know, the Chicago Cubs, he was talking about he only wants black guys and Latino players playing for his ball club.
Right.
And isn't there some kind of double standard here? Well, yeah, you know, maybe. But Dusty Baker isn't a right-wing butthole. So, you know, who cares? I mean, it's all these years Rush Limbaugh being a racist, sexist, idiotic pig on the radio. ESPN should have known better than to hire this creep in the first place.
Well, ESPN is owned by ABC, which is owned by Disney, and they just figured, look, the ratings are tanking. We got to do something. And Limbaugh drove the ratings up, I think, 10% over last year. I guess you could make that connection. Of course, that might be like saying that, you know, the rooster who thinks that because he crows in the morning, the sun comes up. Again, I don't know if they're confusing cause and effect. But the ratings and numbers, the Nielsen's for ESPN did go up 10% this year. But ESPN, they would put Hitler on. They would put Stalin on if they thought it was going to give a boost in the ratings. Don't forget what television is about, what sports is about. Money, Joe. That's all. If there's a racist, sexist, homophobic pig that they want to put on the air because they know it'll jack up their ratings from the other racist, homophobic, sexist pigs who might be professional football fans, well, where's the problem? Thanks, Joe.
You're right about that. I'll tell you what.
What?
I do a good Chris Matthews imitation.
Yes, you do. Thanks, Joe. From Farhan. I remember Rush's countdown during Clinton's first term. Then he quit the count when Clinton won the second term. I remember Rush bashing people with terminal disease in California because they were demonstrating for the use of marijuana to kill their pain. Yeah. And that list could go on and on and on.
I don't care about.
Your phone calls when we come back. Stay with us.
Conservative butthead with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey,
with a face of a horse's ass.
I have a subhuman figure, a huge rear end. My brain? That's another story.
It's quite another story.
I have a face the size of a wash tub. And my ass is as big as Missouri. Yes!
This bastard is sick. He's a fat pump is big and his ass is as big.
Statements exaggerate the truth. I can't believe they hate my show. It's
spies.
It's not just because I'm stupid. It's not just because I'm scum. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain. Insensitive.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some clams dig deep to survive an invasion of foreign crabs. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The European green crab first came to North America in the 1800s in the ballast of sailing ships. Today, the crab is a major problem along the northeastern coast of the United States. It eats just about anything it can get its claws on. That includes a valuable shellfish called the softshell clam. It appears that some of the native clams get away from the foreign crab by digging deep into the mudflats where they live. In Brunswick, Maine. He compared the shells of clams that were collected recently with shells that were stored in museums. The museum specimens were collected before the green crab became a problem. Whitlow says the clams have physically changed to be able to burrow more deeply into the mud. The changes protect them from green crabs, but they also make it harder for the clams to reach the microscopic plants they eat themselves. Whitlow says they now grow more slowly, and that has implications for people who harvest the clams and sell them.
In order to maintain a population of clams, most states regulate what size you can harvest them at. So they have to reach 2 inches before it's legal to pull them out of the mud. And so you can imagine that if there are a bunch of green crabs, not only are there going to be fewer clams, but it's going to take these clams longer to reach that harvestable size, so there'll be maybe even fewer clams available that clammers can take in and make a living on, and that people will have to eat in the summertime.
Whitlow says some towns along the East Coast are trying to rebuild local populations of softshell clams. They're trying to raise them in hatcheries and protect them in the wild with nets. But Whitlow says European green crabs are just one problem for the native clams. He says their survival also depends on the overall health of the coastal marine ecosystem. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Helping of the truth, here's Mike.
Twenty-seven before the hour. 800 talk, yes, is the number. Daryl is calling from Detroit, our bureau chief out there. Hey, Daryl.
I'm in heaven.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats. Yeah, why?
Chickens coming home to roost.
Big time.
People being hoisted on their petards. Folks who are trying to defend them getting hoisted on the same one.
You know, go ahead.
Bobby Novak is probably going to end up talking himself into jail if he keeps talking about different ways that he got some information.
Well, he'll be talking his way into some cement booties in a trip to the deepest part of Lake Michigan, huh?
Well, he's already committed.
I mean, he exposed a CIA agent, and I would imagine there's probably a Vin Diesel movie in the making right now about what happens to columnists who expose CIA agents. Do you think?
I would think so. I would think so. And I saw the retired age operative. I think he made the distinction that it's an operative. It's only an agent if you've got.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That's, yeah.
No, but what he's saying was. It was just as bad.
Right.
He wasn't trying to absolve it.
Right.
What he's saying is...
Now, what did they say about Clinton when he parsed words? Remember?
No. What I'm saying is this particular guy was from the CIA, and he was ticked that this release had been made.
Right.
He said, regardless of what you call her, she was an operative.
Right.
Novak was trying to... Well, she wasn't an agent.
She was still covered by this law, and people were still put at risk. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody who has ever talked to her, every foreign government now is going back through to check to see
who she
talked to.
Sure.
Who she spent time with, who introduced her to whom,
that's right,
et cetera. And there are whole networks of people or information that are now drying up like the Sahara Desert because this fool has decided to go ahead and leak something about from the CIA.
That's right.
I understand what you're saying, that Lake Michigan, I don't know, maybe one of these grinders where they make sawdust out of wood, all that.
You know, I used to drive along Lakeshore Drive at least twice a day going to and from WLS. And way out there, you can see it from Lakeshore Drive. Out in the lake, there is an intake. It looks like a little man-made island out there. And it's an intake, one of the intakes for the water supply in Chicago. And rumor has it that if you, of course it's just rumor because they're out there working all the time on the intake. But rumor has it if you go out there and put on some scuba gear and go down, you will see just a whole group of people in cement booties at the bottom of that intake who are just kind of standing there waving in the currents of Lake Michigan, right?
Just the makings of a new good Stephen King movie right there. Okay.
There you go. Go ahead, Daryl.
The Nazi statement by Arnold.
Yeah.
And then Chris Matthews saying, I'm wondering why it comes out now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, it's politics, Chris. It's those damn Democrats.
Yes, Chris, is number one. And number two, it's a foreshortened campaign. This was exactly why he wanted to get into campaign, because
that's right.
If he had the campaign for 6 months or a year, oh, my God, everything would come out.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing, Daryl, how these right wingers just whine? I mean, they're like little sissy boys, whatever that is. They're just girly boys. No offense to girls, no offense to boys, but that seems to be the expression. They're just little girly boys. Oh, look what the Democrats are doing. Oh, look what the liberal media is doing to me. I'm Rush Limbaugh. Look what they're doing. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Look what they're doing. It's the Democrats. It's the liberals. Oh, don't you just want to bitch slap them? I'm serious.
Well, I'm wondering what the show is going to be like tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that the ditto heads will call in. Rush, we love you. We don't care if you rape babies, man. I wonder if he'll be on tomorrow. He's scheduled to be on tomorrow. The guy who substituted for him today, if you go to his website where he's got a drug ad right at the top, the guy who substituted for him today says, Rush will be back tomorrow addressing all the important issues. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's fine.
$200,000 in the first bit of transaction.
Man,
no small buy.
I may tune in and listen more. Yeah, the news reports, the housekeeper, 80 grand and then 120 grand. Good God. I wonder why the housekeeper blew the whistle. She was getting rich.
Probably she was worried about the fact that he might off her because he was trying to destroy
evidence. Well, there you go. There you go.
Okay.
I mean,
look, I'm up against this powerful man with all this money. I better defend myself.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
And I think she made the smart move.
I think she did, too. I think Russia's made a smart move, too, by hiring one of the nation's premier criminal attorneys. He ought to get, what's his name? I'm having a senior moment here. The guy that defended O.J.
If it doesn't fit, you can't do it.
Yeah. Well, who is it? Come on. Johnny Cochran. There you go. He ought to hire Johnny Cochran. Since he has such a thing for Negroes, I mean, maybe Johnny Cochran could save his worthless ass, huh? Daryl, thanks for checking in, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Johnny Cochran defending. All right, listen, I have to pause here. I know some of you have been holding on. I'm going to get your call. I swear to God I'm going to get your call. But there's something that just zipped by me, and I've got to comment on it, okay? Okay? Now, this is from Eric Zorn, my good friend Eric Zorn, who is a columnist for the Chicago Tribune, who has defended me when I separated from WLS, defended Nancy Skinner when she separated from WLS. And now he's written something about Ski Anderson. Here's what he said. Talk show host Ski Anderson said he knew what was coming at about 10 before 3 p.m. Sunday, last Sunday. The moment his producer sent word to him in the studio that WLS AM operations director Michael Pecker, was in the station and wanted to see him as soon as he got off the air at 3 p.m. The axe was going to fall. 10 weeks after his former co-host Nancy Skinner had to leave their weekly broadcast after she announced on the air she's a candidate Democratic U.S. Senate primary, 5 years after station management had given a chance to a green but hard-charging liberal from Lafayette, Indiana, he was going to lose his gig. He didn't flinch. He came out of the last batch of commercials on his program with an audio clip from the morning's Meet the Press. Every Sunday for a $126 paycheck, Anderson had been waking up at 6 a.m. and driving in from Lafayette, Indiana, to record and assemble these audio bites that he and Skinner, and then he alone, vamped on for 3 hours. He took one last call. On the line was John from Evanston. "Hey," John began, "I love your show." Progressives did. Ski Anderson and Nancy Skinner were tough, smart antidotes to the largely conservative lineup of hosts. They gave comfort and a platform on the air to such callers as John from Evanston, who expressed his objection to the war in Iraq. The closing music began. Ski Anderson did not indicate to his listeners that this was his final goodbye. He gave the station's phone number, mentioned the other great shows on the station, his words, great shows, gave a pitch for the program that follows his, offered his congratulations to the Cubs, and then was drowned out by a Motel 6 ad. Anderson, who still has a day job as a promotions director at WKHY and WXXB in Lafayette, Indiana, said, "Michael Packer told me, we're going to take the show in a different direction. I told him it didn't surprise me. They never really supported the show anyway." Packer told me, Eric Zorn, on Monday that he'd given the show a long time to make ratings headway, and it was not doing well compared to other weekend time slots on the station. He declined to say what programming he will replace the Ski Anderson show with next Sunday, but it's a pretty safe bet that John from Evanston and I will not be listening. Since Ski didn't get a chance to say goodbye to his listeners, I asked him if he'd like to say goodbye here on the blog. This was taken from Eric Zorn's blog. And so Ski writes, this is very quick, "Friends and fellow progressives, some of you I know by voice from when you called the show, others just by an email address, but nonetheless, each has had a major impact into how the Ski and Skinner show and eventually the Ski Anderson show developed over the last 5 years and 1 week that we had at WLS. Thank you for your support, emails, calls to management, all the other actions taken on our behalf. I use the plural pronoun because even though Nancy left 10 weeks ago, she had such an impact on me and the show that she was there those 10 weeks, even though she wasn't there physically. There are more of us than them. Remember that. Keep doing what is necessary to get the word out. Write the letters to the editor. Call management at radio and TV stations about their programming. Check out the progressive websites and forward news and articles not in the mainstream media to the mainstream media. The last 5 years have been a blast. Thank you all so much. Ski Anderson." Yeah, I met Ski and Skinner. When was it, Kathy? 6 years ago now? 97. When I went to that hellhole. We didn't know it was a hellhole, WLS. We thought, big time, ABC, oh my God, we're going to Chicago, Kathy. Shake off the corn pone and let's get rid of these cotton bowls we've been playing with. We're going to Chicago, honey. And so we did, and I met Ski and Skinner shortly after I arrived in Chicago. Met Nancy first. Really liked her. We started hanging out, Kathy and I did, with Nancy and her husband. Then we met Ski. Really liked him. And we did a thing. They only had a Sunday show. When we first got there, they had a Saturday and Sunday show. But they lost their Saturday show because they had the temerity and the courage to go after Henry Hyde. During the impeachment, when I had nothing to do with Henry Hyde's destruction of somebody else's marriage, it had to do with Henry Hyde's fraud and deception. And they were told, don't talk about Henry Hyde. And so they stopped. But as punishment, they lost their Saturday show. Now, every Sunday after their program, whatever Kathy and I were doing in Chicago, we were there for 3.5 years, but with a few exceptions, like Eric Zorn and some other people at the Newberry Library and people places like that, it was hard to fit in. The winters are brutal up there, trust me. But every Sunday, we would meet after their show. Where did we go? What was the name of the... Collins, that's right, I'm sorry, over on... oh, God, what's the street? In Lakeview. But we would meet at this Irish pub. Ski and Skinner would come from the station. Kathy and I would come from wherever we were. Usually Nancy's husband at the time, Jerry, would show up. Sometimes Ski's wife would be in town. She would come. And once in a while, Eric Zorn. We'd all get together and have a beer, have something to eat, sit there and talk about the way things are. We'd talk about their show, talk about my show. Kind of support each other because we were three liberals, the three of us on the air, Eric Zorn, a liberal for Chicago Tribune. Here we were, a little clutch of liberals cast onto this sea of sick, filthy, degenerate conservatism that just sucks media dry. And when I had my moment with WLS, when it came time for me to leave, we had a goodbye party at Collins and... of course, Ski and Skinner were there, and we hated to go. You know, when you live someplace for 3.5 years, and it was as intense as it was in those 3.5 years, you hate to go. You know, you start to feel like, oh, my God. We were glad to get back to the South. That's just how it is, I guess. But stayed in touch with Ski and Skinner. I wouldn't be surprised if I get an email from him in a few moments here saying, hey, cool, you read Eric's column. So we all go our separate ways, right? All three of us, to a degree, have landed on our feet after that experience. I'm sure Ski will be okay. I'm sure Nancy will be okay. Hopefully she'll be a senator. I don't know what's going to happen to us, Kathy, but hopefully we'll be okay, too. But just a tip of the hat to Ski Anderson. He's a good guy. And to Eric Zorn for always being there. For Ski and Nancy and me. We appreciate it. Okay, that's all I had to say. That's all I had to say. Peter is calling from Midland, Michigan. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
I think you may have to review some of your primary assumptions.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there is a God. and she is pissed.
And she is real pissed.
you almost read my mind there when you started talking about Geneva. Doesn't it seem like there's kind of a theme? There's kind of a theme in the last 5 or 6 days. It's like Karl Rove, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Pig Man.
Yeah. Novak. Yeah.
David Kaye. It's like...
Louis Libby.
Louis Libby.
Right.
My God.
Yeah.
It's just, so maybe that astrology is all bull, but Shakespeare did say there is a tide in the affairs of men, you know.
Yeah, and taking at the ebb leads somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I just... The Greek playwrights hundreds of years ago had it right. This thing called hubris that invariably will bring down the arrogant, especially the mighty who become arrogant.
Without fail.
Invariably it happens. And I whether it is a punk like George Bush or a thug like Rush Limbaugh or a criminal like Karl Rove, eventually these people come down.
Yeah, they say the wheels of God grind very slowly.
Very slowly.
But they grind very fine indeed.
Yes, they
do. But don't you think, I mean, the usual scam here is you wait 6 months and then you write a book that says, Jesus got me off the drugs.
Or yeah,
Jesus,
right, yeah.
Whatever it is,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And then all will be forgiven and all the people will come. We always knew you were a good guy, right?
We love you, Rush. We love you, Rush. Those damn dirty liberals made you take those drugs. Dittos, Rush. Hey, Rush, are you an oxymoron? No, I.
But I've been in kind of an email conversation of the last 4 or 5 weeks with the local Rush station.
Yeah.
Because I called in on 9/11 and I said, you know, the Iraqis didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was giving me this, well, the president has secret information.
Hey, hold on just a second. We got to take a break here, Peter. I'll come back to you.
Irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength myelin's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who worked with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until
this is
I lost
Dave.
14
Peter,
pounds.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiotitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at IEAmericaRadio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
The Mike Molloy Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Seekers celebrate. Right-wingers beware. More of Mike Molloy.
Five before the hour, we are talking with Peter in Midland, Michigan. You know, the one thing missing from this a trifecta or quadrifecta or whatever it is this week, Peter, is the indictment of Joe Scarborough, who sits there on MSNBC with his filthy little program every night. The guy who... one of his female staff members was found dead in his office in Florida, and shortly after that he resigned from Congress and said, I think I'll be a television commentator.
Well, I think we can all be encouraged.
I hope so. Maybe Geneva can give us a take on what's going to happen to Joe Scarborough, right?
Seriously, over the last few days I've been thinking, God, I got to call her, see what the heck is going on, you know? I don't want a reading for me. I want to find out what's going on with these guys.
I hear you.
But like I was saying, I had been in this email match with the local Rust station because he was telling me that George Bush had secret information about the weapons of mass destruction and Saddam's links to 9/11. And then, of course, the dominoes have just been falling one by one, you know?
Yeah.
Starting with the admissions about 9/11. And he says, and he writes back to me, well, how come I've never heard about this?
Oh, my God. That's the part. You can't educate the world. You can't, and you can't educate these right-wingers one at a time either. It's just astonishing how stupid, how ignorant they are. I don't know what to tell you, Peter.
Well, it's a kind of a balancing act to see if you can maintain patience and civility.
Well, I've discovered I can't.
Yeah.
if you can, more power to you. I lose it, pal. I just lose it. That's why on this radio program is the only place that I talk about this stuff. When I get out in the world,
I think your function is a catharsis for the rest of us so that we don't go crazy.
Yeah.
The danger is that you might go crazy. And I don't want that to happen to you.
Not me, buddy. No. I had 13 years of therapy.
Oh,
trust
me,
I'm not going to go anywhere.
One last thing.
Yeah.
Can I be your Saginaw Valley Bureau Chief?
Absolutely, Peter. You got it. Don't forget, when you call in now, tell Kathy, the Saginaw Bureau, Saginaw Valley. Oh, God, that's long. Saginaw Valley Bureau Chief. All right?
You got it.
All right, sir. Thanks, Peter.
Bye.
Take care. Daniel T. emails in, I remember back in the late 80s, Rush had great fun making fun of Kitty Dukakis for her addiction to prescription drugs. What an effing hypocrite. Yeah, Daniel, what happened today is called karma. Balance.
listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. New York Democratic Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton is making a trip to Iraq and Afghanistan to share a Thanksgiving meal with New York Army troops and assess conditions in Iraq. Joining is Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island, the ranking Democratic member on the Armed Services Strategic Subcommittee and a former Army paratrooper. Reed organized the trip. Clinton has sought to expand her voice on foreign affairs with her position on the Armed Services Committee and earlier this year voted to give Bush broad war authority. The trip marks Clinton's first fact-finding mission since joining the Armed Services Committee earlier this year. The American plan to turn over power in Iraq more quickly was thrown into disarray on Wednesday when the country's most powerful cleric voiced his opposition to a proposal for indirect elections. Spokesman for Ayatollah Sistani said he insisted that the June election be a direct ballot and not the caucus-style vote called for in the American plan. He also insists that the new Iraq government have a more overtly Islamic character. Officials say the real reason for wanting direct elections is that the clerics hope Iraq's Shiite majority will help to form an Islamic government. Smooth sailing is expected for the giant balloons in the 77th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City today. Winds are expected to reach no higher than 10 miles per hour, eliminating any fears that the bevy of cartoon characters would have to be grounded. Led by Jake the helium-stuffed turkey, who last appeared in 1959, the giant balloons are expected to float with ease in the parade. The National Weather Service has forecast winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour during the duration of the parade, with mostly cloudy skies. Harvey Fierstein, Broadway's most famous drag queen, will dress as Mrs. Claus while riding downtown on a float in Macy's famous parade. Fierstein, star of the Broadway musical hit Hairspray and openly gay, says his appearance as Santa's wife isn't a political statement. He's doing it strictly for the fun of it. More IE America Network news after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
Memo to George Bush, when making a first presidential visit to a state, be sure and pronounce the state's name correctly. Bush, in Las Vegas on Tuesday, repeatedly said Nevada. To properly pronounce Nevada, the middle syllable should rhyme with gamble. Mispronouncing the state's name sets people's teeth on edge, said state archivist Guy Rocha. And state senator Dina Titus said mispronunciation shows Bush doesn't care much about the state. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who'll work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
On this Thanksgiving Day, one thing that I'm thankful for is to be a progressive in America, even in this age of bourgeois. What makes me thankful is the great rebellious spirit and progressive ideals that I find among the great majority of our people, a spirit and progressivism that can't be drained from us even by the collective efforts of Bush Co., the corporate kleptocrats, and the wobblycrats in Washington. Luckily, I get to travel a lot, speaking and working with folks all across America, so I don't have to take my impression of people's beliefs and attitudes from the establishment press, pundits, pollsters, and politicos. And I can tell you that contrary to the contrived conventional wisdom of these establishment elites, Americans are not a bunch of meek, trust authority, just-go-shopping corporate conservatives clutching duct tape and religiously watching Fox television to learn what it is we're supposed to think and do. Rather, we're the same bunch of restless and raucous rebels, anti-establishment mutts and mavericks who've always been drawn to this big, brawling and sprawling country, and who have steadily extended our egalitarian ideals over the decades. Everywhere I go, I find that ordinary grassroots Americans are lighting little prairie fires of rebellion against the economic and political exclusion being practiced by the power elites. You hear little about it from the media barons, but more than 112 cities have already passed living wage initiatives. Students on more than 50 campuses have outlawed sweatshop goods from Nike and others. Nearly 200 towns have defeated Walmart and other big box bullies from bulldozing into their communities. More than 200 cities, towns, and counties have passed formal actions against the liberty-busting USA Patriot Act and, well, the list goes on of modern-day rebels fighting and winning to take our democracy back. This is Jim Hightower saying, thanks to all of you on this Thanksgiving Day for your great rebellious spirit.
Doug, listening to you sing Back on the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, no.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Yeah, the focus tonight is on Schwarzenegger and the Pig Man. We do have some sound we're going to play for you a little bit later in the program. Rumsfeld at the Department of Defense briefing today that will probably set your hair on end. Make your hair stand on end. That's it. What a week it's been. David Kay.
No weapons of mass destruction in Iraq so far. Give me another $600 million. I see what it can do for you.
Rush.
What? I can't hear you. Talk to my criminal attorney. Where are you back? The Arnold. Yes, I've molested women, and I admire Hitler.
Can you kill your political career any faster than to say you grope women and Hitler is your hero? Well, I, if you listen to the roar of the grease paint, the smell of the crowd when Arnold was out there in San Diego, when was that, today? And he said, yes, I have groped women! And they all cheered him. I don't know. Maybe, and neo-Nazism in this country is just, you know what, a millimeter below the surface. We all know that. It's there. But just unbelievable stuff this week. I don't know. Thank God tomorrow's Friday. Hi, Julie is calling from Duval, Washington. Julie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Is this the greatest news week ever? Oh, the only way this could get any better is if George W. Bush walks out on the Rose or wherever it is that he walks at the White House.
Yeah.
And says, you know, I can't do this anymore. I have to go.
Yeah, right.
And then Cheney, like, has to go to prison. And
yeah.
Karl Rove has to be his roommate. How exciting could that be?
Oh, my God. It is just too exciting.
Okay, it's like this. I live in the land of the flying monkey right.
I'll bet.
You know, Western Washington is very liberal, but there is a really tiny part of it that is not, and I live in it.
Oh, God.
And I had the unmitigated pleasure of informing two of my colleagues today that Rush Limbaugh, unfortunately, will be going to rehab.
Yeah.
You should have seen the looks on the faces.
You know what I mean? I'll bet.
Their whole lives are ruined now, you know? It's like over. I mean, I can't imagine what could be worse, that they'd find out that Anna Coulter's really a guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean.
Let me ask you something. Do you think, the way we're carrying on tonight, Julie, do you think that we are guilty of, what's the German word, Schadenfreude, the celebration or the approval of somebody else's misfortune? Are we doing that?
You know, actually, to be completely honest with you, and I suppose there are some Democrats who will think I'm disloyal, I do somewhat feel sorry for Mr. Limbaugh because his rehab is going to be not fun.
I wish I could feel sorry for him.
I feel sorry for his wife.
Just
to live with it.
You know, maybe in the next 24, 36, 48 hours, the humanity in me will be awakened and I'll feel that compassion. I have to be honest, I don't feel it right now. And the reason I don't feel it right now, just like I mentioned before the break, how Limbaugh dumped on Kitty Dukakis because, you know, how he dumped on McCain's wife.
Yeah.
You know, every single person who has shown human frailty that has passed within the radar scope of Rush Limbaugh has felt the lash. And it's you know, in that smarmy, filthy, degenerate way that these conservatives, these Republicans do. And I can't be a progressive, liberal, Democrat, nice guy tonight and say, oh, poor Rush.
Okay, this is what I don't understand.
Yeah?
Why do the Republicans think that we are always supposed to be kind and compassionate when they are, you know, dishing it out with both barrels?
I don't understand it. I don't think they think that. We think that. We think. As liberals, that human nature moves in one direction. That's toward the light. We think that people are redeemable. We think that there's a social contract worth upholding in this country. We're the ones who think that. Republicans couldn't care less. And that's why when one of them falls, I will go out of my way to walk over and put a boot in their face. I'm sorry, but there's some sort of a neo-fascist inside of me, I guess, too.
You go. Here's the thing. I have two burning questions for all Americans. Are you ready for this?
Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I want to know what the document dump is for tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
You know they're coming out with something because they're trying to distract everyone.
Yes, they are.
And here's the next question.
And it is Friday tomorrow.
Yes.
Right.
I want to know how Maria Shriver can stay with his ass after today. I want to know. I want to know why she hasn't filed for divorce. My husband did that.
I know.
You know what I mean? I don't understand. She calls herself a feminist. She's from a Democratic family. It is hard for me to believe that her relatives are not on the phone right now going, are you out of your mind?
Right. I don't know, Julie. There are some mysteries greater than your and my ability to understand them, right?
I know. Word to Bart Kopp if he's out there.
Yeah. Good. I'm sure Bart. I can't wait. I haven't had time to go to Bart Kopp today, but I can't wait. As soon as the program's over, I'm clicking on to BartKopp.com and pouring me a stiff Jack Black on the rocks and kick back, which is what I do most nights, frankly. When I get home after this program, I go to Bart Kopp with a good stiff Jack Daniels in my hand and pop a couple of OxyContin to boost the Jack Daniels and kick back and just go, whoa, man, you go, Bart!
I don't think Bart Kopp's going to sober up all weekend.
I don't think so either, Julie. Hey, thanks for checking in.
It's great to talk to you.
All right, sweetie. Talk to you again. Take care. If you don't go to BartKopp.com, shame on you. Shame on you, folks. From Indiana Irish. Hi, Mike. I was thinking, did Rush have to take a urine test? He didn't, Indiana didn't word it that way, but I'm cleaning it up. Hi, Mike. I was thinking, did Rush have to take a urine test for his $250 million job? When does that drug test to get a job not have to be taken? Just a working person asking a question. Drug tested to get my job. Drug tested when something happens on my job. The only time I'm not drug tested is when something happens on the job and they don't want to spend the money. Rush should be given all the compassion he would give to another law-breaking drug abuser. Indiana Irish. When I went to work for ABC in Chicago, what did I take, Kathy? Two? I had to take two drug tests? Yeah, two urine tests? Yeah, here in Atlanta. They sent me to the ABC affiliate here in Atlanta. They said, go over there and they'll give you the slip and you go to this lab. So I did, and peed in the bottle and sent it off. And about a week later, I got a call from Mike Elder, the butcher of WLS, who said, you're going to have to take the test again. I said, why? I don't do drugs. Well, they got your Social Security number wrong. Oh, really? So I took it again. And trust me, I wasn't making $250 million for a five-year contract. Or what did he get, a 10-year contract? Five-year contract? Indian Irish, I don't know. If Rush, according to the reports, this has been going on for 4 years. Rush has driven himself deaf. He now has metal in his ears, a cochlear implant from all the drugs he's done. He's gone to rehab twice. You would think, wouldn't you, that the premier radio networks and Clear Channel might have wanted to insure their $250 million, that's a quarter of a billion, dollar investment by making the pig man pee in a bottle like Indiana Irish has to do to keep his job. Oh, I should be compassionate, shouldn't I? Yes, says who? Mason. Hi, Mike. As much as Rush is a hypocritical, bloated airbag, I still have some sadness that he as a human has an illness called drug abuse. As a liberal, even though I cannot stand to listen to the lying gas hole, I still am not happy that he has a drug problem. I'm happier that he has been a failure at ESPN. I hope he kicks the drugs, the drug use after losing all credibility. Yeah, I understand that. I respect you people who are feeling compassion. I wish I could. I'm hoping that within 24, 48, 72 hours, maybe I can see the compassionate side of this plug back into my liberal, that fey liberal thing. Oh, he's a liberal. Oh, well, that means he's anti-war and he's gutless and doesn't like the military. And, you know, I hope I can plug into my liberal side and find some compassion for Limbaugh. But tonight, it's glee. I am always gleeful when I see the magic of karma at work. I am always, always at peace when I realize that the Greek playwrights were correct. Hubris does exist. And that apparently is my personality flaw. But I don't care. From David, about Chris Matthews and his defense, always, of these right-wing drug abusers, whoremongers, and Chris Matthews' offense, always against people like Clinton, who had a consensual sexual relationship and lied about it. David writes, Chris Matthews applied for the press secretary gig after Clinton won in 1992, and he's been pouting ever since. Today he was taking up for Schwarzenazi. He said, Chris Matthews said, funny how Democrats always dig up dirt at the last minute. Gore tried to trash Bush with DUI information at the last moment. It never seems to work since we all see through it. End quote. This crap, David writes, used to bother me, but now Matthews just seems pathetic. And I see why Clinton didn't want this crybaby on his staff. Yeah, isn't it amazing? The party of personal responsibility, when it's their turn, when Newt Gingrich gets caught again, you talk about a serial adulterer. How many marriages has he had? When these people get caught, when Limbaugh gets caught because his drug connection wears a wire, Jesus, I keep thinking about that and just go, oh my God! She wore a wire. It's like a movie. It's a sting operation on God. Talent on loan from God. Guess what, Rush? God wants it back. And when asked for a statement, Limbaugh says, I didn't realize I was the subject of an investigation. Nobody's contacted me. Yeah, but Rush, are you guilty? Sorry, that's all I got to say. And by the way, would you speak up a little bit? I'm having a hell of a time hearing you. Oh, my God. Okay. Quick break. We'll be back. And back to your phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Sitting downtown in a railway station, walked over the line, waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, walked over the line.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding me? I disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack.
attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today?
Well, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
I blew out my flip-flop, stepped on a pop-top, cut my heel, had to cruise on back home. But there's booze in the blender, and soon it will render.
For some reason, I just needed to hear that. You know, just a little old Jimmy Buffett music. God, that's what we all need, don't we? We need to. We need to all just go down to Key West and kick back down on the square down there on Duval Street, the end of Duval Street, and just watch one of those gorgeous sunsets.
Someday, maybe my husband will take me there.
From our Manhattan bureau chief, Kim. Hi, Mike. All I can say is, payback's a bitch! Yes, it is, Kim. From David. Rove, the Gropinator, and Limbaugh. We've hit the trifecta. I'm going out for some champagne. David. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how we're going to sober up in the morning, though, right, David? Oh, excuse me. Diet Coke went down the wrong... Or maybe it was one of those damn OxyContin I've been nibbling on in here like M&M's. Adam is calling from Chicago. Hey, Adam.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
It's such a happy day. I could not resist enough to call you and share the happiness.
Oh, it's our Polish bureau chief.
Hey.
How you doing, Adam?
I didn't, recently, I didn't call for quite a time.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to your last 2 days, so I'm kind of behind, and I incidentally caught Rokhan. They did like an hour on the Rush Limbaugh, even it was all giggling and everything, and I was thinking that I'm in a different country all this time.
So Ro and Gary were on WLS, were chewing on Rush's butt?
They really were.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
I was really surprised. Well, there was a couple of stupid calls. You know, one guy said, the Rush works so hard and something.
The Rush works so hard.
To make all this $32 million.
Yeah, he's entitled to his drugs.
And I said, no, and the explanation is that probably a person like him, this kind of, you know, hard work, he has to use some chemical, you know.
Let me say something, Adam. let me say something, Adam. Let me interrupt you for just a moment. I'm going to pot you down for a second. Rush doesn't work hard. I'll tell you who works hard. I've got a caller who's doing telemarketing in West Virginia. He works hard. I've got a guy who calls this program down in Texas who's looking for a job. He works hard. I've got another guy in Texas, a Vietnam vet, who goes to meetings at the VFW. He works hard. I have people who call this program who work two and three jobs. They work hard. I have people who are afraid of losing their house because Bush has screwed up this economy. They work hard. I have people who work a waitress job or a server job after they put in 8 hours in some godforsaken crap-ass office with no benefits. Those people work hard. Rush Limbaugh does not work hard.
Yes, Mike, I fully agree. Nobody
right.
could say that better. I'm going to listen to him tomorrow, see if he's on the air.
Yeah. You know, I think I may join you, Adam. I just might turn into the Nazi station here in Atlanta and listen to what the pig man has to say.
Yeah, and, you know, I would say, you know, mega dildos. And mega dildos to all your dildo hands.
No, it's mega dittos.
Oh, this is my bad Polish accent. I'm sorry.
It's dittos.
You know, yeah, I know.
All right.
I'm going to call WLS tomorrow.
Yeah, call
him. I have all my friends to call and say, you know what, we need to have a mic back.
Yeah, tell him to give Rush's slot to Ski Anderson. That's what you ought to do. Hey, Adam, thanks for checking in, buddy.
I thank you.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening.
One little problem that confronts you. Got a monkey on your back. Just one more fix, Lord, might do the trick. One hell of a price for you to get your kid.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some clams dig deep to survive an invasion of foreign crabs. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The European green crab first came to North America in the 1800s in the ballast of sailing ships. Today, the crab is a major problem along the northeastern coast of the United States. It eats just about anything it can get its claws on. That includes a valuable shellfish called the soft-shell clam. It appears that some of the native clams get away from the foreign crab by digging deep into the mudflats where they live. Lindsay Whitlow is an ecologist at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. He compared the shells of clams that were collected recently with shells that were stored in museums. The museum specimens were collected before the green crab became a problem. Whitlow says the clams have physically changed to be able to burrow more deeply into the mud. The changes protect them from green crabs, but they also make it harder for the clams to reach the microscopic plants they eat themselves. Whitlow says they now grow more slowly, and that has implications for people who harvest the clams and sell them.
In order to maintain a population of clams, most states regulate what size you can harvest them at. So they have to reach 2 inches before it's legal to pull them out of the mud. And so you can imagine that if they're a bunch of green crabs, not only are there going to be fewer clams, but it's going to take these clams longer to reach that harvestable size, so there'll be maybe even fewer clams available that clammers can take in and make a living on, and that people will have to eat in the summertime.
Whitlow says some towns along the East Coast are trying to rebuild local populations of soft-shell clams. They're trying to raise them in hatcheries and protect them in the wild with nets. But Whitlow says European green crabs are just one problem for the native clams. He says their survival also depends on the overall health of the coastal marine ecosystem. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Potatoes, hey, sweet potatoes, baked potatoes, potato chips, whoa, smoked sausage, fried chicken, pepperoni pizza, tenderloin chips. Nobody can make a donut do the thing you do. Believe me, baby, I've tried quite a few. I've eaten meatballs in Sweden and pork chops in Peru. But all it did was remind me of you, baby. And your mashed potatoes, sweet.
sweet potatoes. Oh, baby. Pat the butter.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around.
Little did I realize we'd get the trifecta.
Big joke, George. You got a trifecta heading your way, buddy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. From Joel, regarding some of the comments we've been making in the past few minutes about compassion and my inability to feel any for Limbaugh. Just a zip, zero. Hi, Mike. Compassion? Did Hitler have compassion for the Jews? What right-winger ever had compassion at any time for anyone? I agree with you. This is next to the best perfect trifecta. I'm not a gambler. That only can be beat by Arnold losing, Rush off the air, and Bush impeached, voted out, or gone. Harry Truman said, you want a friend in Washington? Get a dog. I say you want compassion? Show some. Yeah, I guess that's it. I guess Joel just hit it. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, God, Malloy, you must be just so corrupted in your soul. This is what 14 years of talk radio has done to you. Just utterly turned you into a complete cynic. Yeah, but I love my wife and I like our cat and I love my grandkids and we go for walks and I like a nice sunset and pretty poetry and new age music and I don't have a soul. But it feels that way when all of a sudden you realize, you know, something has happened to somebody like Limbaugh. And there's nothing but Schadenfreude. How do you say it, Kathy? Come on, you're the college graduate. You know, the German thing, you know. Yeah, good to see your suffering. I guess that's the best way to do it. But Joel's right. You want compassion? Show some. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I think we all start out after we're trained, not as children. Children don't have compassion, but they're taught. And I think all of us, our ethical training, whether we get that in a synagogue, a church, a mosque, from our friends, or from reading Nietzsche, you know, whatever. Whatever our training is, you know, I think we learn compassion. Maybe when we first feel pain and realize that other people feel pain. So, compassion is such a necessary element to being a decent human, isn't it? But as Joel points out, please, somebody, somewhere, call me, email me, tell me the last time an American conservative, especially in the past, 10 years, has shown compassion. They step on people who are hurting. They walk around people who are less fortunate, and that's the word, than they are. Here's an example. Jenny in Missouri sends us in. Mike, here's another right-wing sicko for you. An aide to Senator Bond. I guess she's referring to Senator Kit Bond in Missouri. An aide to Senator Bond has a website called N8354N, which is the tail number of the plane that Governor Mel Carnahan, his son Randy, and Chris Sifford were killed in. The site takes swipes and pokes fun at Democratic politicians. Full story is in the Metro section of today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He was disciplined for having the website, but not fired. Must be a student of Karl Rove. It just gets sicker by the day. Jenny. Can you believe that? Kathy, everything we talked about tonight, is this not the most ghoulish? This rotten bastard. Now, Senator Kit Bond, Republican, if he were a decent human being, wouldn't he say to this aide, you're out of here? And what kind of a warped, sick, Republican, conservative mind, well, that's an easy question to answer, comes up with a website that is the tail number of the plane that killed people? Bad word coming back away from your receivers. These sons of bitches. Okay, you can come back. Compassion? Moi? No. No. Chris is calling from Westbrook, Connecticut. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm not sure. I'll be much better tonight when I have a drink.
I got to tell you, when I turn on your show when I get out of work from my second job, by the way, and you were when I heard White Rabbit after your monologue there, I almost ran into a tree. I was laughing so hard.
Well, my producer does that. Kathy is a genius in matching music to my last sentence when we go into a break. She is just an absolute genius.
Well, I got to tell you, all the mega ditto heads that will call them tomorrow. They should change it to mega doses, probably.
But mega doses, Rush.
Yeah,
that's good, Chris.
I'll tell you, the only thing, you know, one other thing that would make this so sweet and so fine is if our Congress got their heads out of the dark place and voted down this insane amount of money that Bush wants to carry Vietnam 2003 into the next millennium or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
But you're right. Karma's got something that I don't know what it is, but boy, but does it feel good?
Yeah, and I don't know if we should be embarrassed again. The German word that's involved there. I just know that when I saw this story last night, when somebody sent me a link, and I'm sorry I'm forgetting who it was, that said, listen, there is going to be one hell of a story break tomorrow, and check the New York Daily News. And I went to New York Daily News last night at 1 o'clock in the morning. Nothing there. They still had Wednesday's paper up. And then this morning, got up, had a cup of coffee, got on the computer, went to New York Daily News. Oh, my God. There's the story on Limbaugh. And the fact that that his housekeeper wore a wire for the last two sales, it reminds me of that movie True Romance. I don't know if you ever saw the Christian Slater. And, oh, my God, everybody, so many actors were in that that have gone on to be recognizable. There's a lengthy segment of the movie about a guy who wears a wire to trap a Hollywood producer in a huge cocaine buy.
And I remember that, yeah.
It's a great movie. It's one of my favorite of all-time movies, True Romance. It came out, I guess, about 7 or 8 years ago. It's just extremely violent. Tony Soprano is in it. James Gandolfini has a brutal, brutal scene where he just beats the bejesus out of what's her name, Patricia Arquette. But it's a great movie, believe it or not. You know, when you realize Christopher Walken is in it, Dennis Hopper's in it. Just
right.
So many people, and it's just one of those cult. It's becoming a cult flick. But the one character wears a wire, and when I read that story today about Rush, all I could think of was that movie, and I could imagine this housekeeper who's been working for this thug for 4 years, providing him with drugs, knowing that she's dealing with one of the most powerful non-elected people on the planet, who could have her turned into pulp in about 13 seconds if he wanted to, and how fearful that must have been. Now, granted, she's being paid. I'm sure she was making some money. I'm sure he gave her nice tips. But, you know, when she finally gets to the point where she's got the courage to go to the authorities and they say to her, hey, would you wear a wire for the next two buys? And I hope this son of a bitch goes down. I hope he goes down. I don't care if he goes to prison or to rehab, but I want to see this man go down. And then I'll feel bad about it, and I'll think, oh, Mike, you were not compassionate. Oh, damn you. You were not compassionate.
Well, you know, the other thing, this morning I was channel surfing the news networks and watching Arnold up there with the smoke, there's fire. It's true.
Yeah, he's telling on himself. Where there's smoke, there's fire. No kidding, moron.
And then he starts the whole thing by saying, everything you read in the papers is not true, but where there's smoke, there's fire.
Right.
A contradiction there, maybe?
Maybe he doesn't understand idiomatic English. I mean, he's been here forever, but, you know, I'm standing here telling you that I am guilty. You know, oh, my God. What a dork. And yet, And yet he's leading, he was today anyway, in the polls. We'll see what happens tomorrow. This thing about his admiration for Hitler, dear God. I mean, how far out does this freak have to go before people say, I think I'll vote for Bustamante. Or no. I think I'll just keep Gray Davis. Can we go back? Can we run the film back? Can we take the videotape back just, I don't know, several weeks and get away from this madness out here? Oh, my God. I love Hitler. I love Hitler. He came from humble beginnings, and he was very good. Jesus.
Well, then again, he did play Danny DeVito's brother in Twins, you know.
Yeah, as bad as Davis is, and I don't know that he's all that bad, so he has no personality, so what? At least no one thinks he's a fan of Hitler, for Christ's sake. It's just incredible. Hey, thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. Glad you checked in. Yeah, what is it? What does it take? You know, we've been saying that constantly about Bush. What does it take? What does this thuggish administration have to do? Well, what does Schwarzenegger, what's left? Molesting children? What has he not done that most Americans go, I don't think that's a very good thing to do. you know, molesting, sexually assaulting women, no, that's not up there. Praising Hitler, no, I don't think that's there. Doing drugs, no, I don't think that's up there. Would Bush's poll numbers drop if he said he admired Hitler? He was addicted to hillbilly heroin? I mean, what does it take? Oh, my God. You know, it's the conservative media elite with the arrogance to presume that they tell us how to live, while they violate every single concept of decent behavior, whether it's taking young men into war for no reason or abusing their wives. Look at this thug John Fund, who I still see on television, a Wall Street Journal editorial writer, who not only cheats on his wife, but the person he's cheating with, not only does he boink her, he boinks her daughter too! And he beats them up to the point where they have to call the police on him. And I just saw him on MSNBC last night! Joining us is Wall Street Journal writer John Fund. Hi, John. Have you beaten up any women today? Well, since you mention it. Have you screwed any mother and daughter combinations? Well, since you mention it. My God. What does it take?
What? We impeached Clinton?
Yeah. Kathy says in my headphones, why did we impeach Clinton? Oh, that's right. How many more of these stories about these rich, white, Republican men who abuse drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, religion? How many more of these broken lives, broken promises, broken ideals before we, liberals, demand moral accountability by saying no to conservatism? It is corrupt. It is filthy. It is filthy. G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, criminals get talk shows. Jesus. Right after the 2000 election, Rush Limbaugh said, well, if you discount the black vote, Bush won by a landslide. I'm not saying you should discount the black vote, but they tend to vote as a block anyway. If he wasn't telling his listeners to discount the black vote, what was he saying? He is a racist bastard. And a drug addict, too, come to think of it. Yeah, and a criminal. I mean, he was engaged in a criminal enterprise with at least with his housekeeper. Wait till they find out that the criminal enterprise has its roots in Colombia or Iraq. Going to a parking lot at Denny's. Little cheesy-ass drug drops. How many times would Rush Limbaugh get on there and talk about the crackheads in the Negro neighborhoods? You know, they probably go to Denny's parking lot. They can't get served in there, but they can do their drug deals in there. Jesus. Somebody sent this to me. Why should anyone be surprised to learn that the pig man is a total hypocrite? All he has done is to simply fall into line with the rest of the Republican moralizers like Bill Bennett. Matt Glavin, yeah, the guy, the head of the Southeastern Legal Foundation, who had a weird habit here in Atlanta. He kept propositioning National Forest Service Rangers, men, out here at a national park, a jogging trail along the Chattahoochee River. Twice he got busted for it. Hi, can I play with your thing? I'm Matt Glavin, the Southeastern Legal Foundation. I'm a Republican. I think Bill Clinton is a real thug. But can I see it? Can I unzip your pants? What does it take? The writer says here, I can tell you this, if we were allowed free access into the private lives of 99% of these conservatives who preach to the rest of the world about family values ad nauseum, you'd find more than just a few skeletons. I'm sure that we'll hear much, much more as the days reveal how Limbaugh has been gobbling illegal drugs for the past 4 years. Yeah. It's not the behavior. It's the hypocrisy. I adopt kind of a libertarian attitude. Where it concerns drugs, where it concerns your sexual habits, as long as it doesn't involve children, have at it. If it's consenting, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you smoke, inhale, ingest, or inject. You're a damn fool if you're not careful. I don't care what you believe in. Believe in Allah, Yahweh, Jesus. I don't care. It's your hypocrisy. It's your hypocrisy that makes me sick. So when the hypocrites fall, do I feel compassion? No, I do not. And there's something that says I'm proud of that fact.
The older girl in space, be high. In her Gerber space, in her Göring says, he'll never bomb this place. Be hail, hail, right in her Göring space. Are we not the Superman? Aryan pure Superman.
Yeah, we are the Superman.
Super duper Superman.
Is this Nazi land so good? Would you leave it if you could?
Yeah, this Nazi land is good. We would leave it if we could.
We bring the world new order. I'll hit this world new order.
Everyone of foreign race will love the Fuhrer's face when we bring to the world disorder.
When the Fuhrer says he is the master race, we pile, pile, right in the Fuhrer's face.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to colacecapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle. talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories from Bill Bennett.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered.
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided.
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a cave with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday, from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Well, the Reverend Debu emailed me. Apparently, Kit Bond did fire the person who was running that political website. It's reported in today, Thursday's Chronicle, San Francisco newspaper. The person who ran the website was Ernie Blazar, Bond's communications director for the past 3 years. So, Jenny, if they didn't report that in the Post-Dispatch, it's he's gone. See, people say, Mike, why do you hate the Republicans? That's one reason. And you've heard a bunch of them tonight, too. Dan is calling from Adrian, Michigan. Hey, Dan, thanks for holding on for the past 2 hours.
Hey, I want to be your Lenawee County Bureau Chief.
Lenawee County Bureau Chief, you got it.
All right. Listen, about Rush. First of all, remember back in 1995, Rush Limbaugh, William Bennett, and Newt Gingrich got together at a seaside cottage to discuss whether or not Newt should run for president.
I bet they got high and had hookers and gambling.
Oh, this is great. This is great. There is a God. But also I want to say is that I first heard Rush back in Sacramento in 1987.
Mm.
And this guy, when he was on KFBK out there.
Oh, that's when he told the black caller to take the bone out of his nose.
Right, amongst other things. But yeah. Another thing that he was big on was that he was always making fun of the homeless, you know. And he was talking about how there should be the Homeless Olympics. And among the events in the Homeless Olympics were, one, the whiskey bottle throw, and two, the shopping cart relay.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, and but this guy has made fun of so many people that have personal weaknesses. And I can feel sorry for a death row inmate before I could ever feel sorry for Rush Limbaugh.
I hear that.
And I'm sorry.
Loud and clear. No, don't say you're sorry. When the mighty fall, there's a huge sound that sounds about like a great big fart when they hit the ground, huh?
But in the words of our good friend James Carville, it's the hypocrisy, stupid.
There you go. That's it. Dan, thanks for checking
thanks,
in. All right, sir. Appreciate it. I've said a bunch of bad words tonight, haven't I, Kathy? You're going to beat me when we get off the air?
Only if you ask nicely.
Only if I ask nicely? Oh, my God. You think I'm Rush Limbaugh, or is it Newt Gingrich? The program was engineered this evening in Detroit by Jay Balicki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Thanks to and Michael in Santa Fe, please call in tomorrow. I'm leaving you hanging here, and you got a real good topic, Fox's take on Rushbo. So please, Michael, call in tomorrow. Thanks to Mark Marshall, our webmaster, MaximumInteractive.com, and this army of militant mods at MikeMalloy.com, who take care of my website every night. Thank you, guys and gals. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, and anybody else that contributes to this program.